We aim for perfection in just about everything that we attempt, but we also strive for this with fatherhood. And could it be that there actually is a right way to father? You might be surprised. Welcome to Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. I'm not the perfect dad, but every day I am trying to be better. And on this quest of being better every day, I know that I will never achieve perfection. And that's okay because I can still father the right way. And you can too. And I want to tell you how. If you want to be a part of helping dads grow as disciple makers and making them aware of Fathering Our Future, you can help. And here is what I want you to do. I want you to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast and write a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'll take a screenshot of that and send it to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, I have a gift for you. I wrote a book called Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad. I cannot send you the physical copy, but I will send you the electronic copy of this book. And technically, you'll get a little bit more because the ebook has additional references that are linked all throughout it. So this is my gift for you for rating and reviewing this podcast. Again, send that to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. And by doing that, you're helping create awareness of this podcast, and ultimately, you're helping dads grow as disciple makers. Our scripture for this week comes from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, and this is what we read. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Doesn't sound too good, but that's what we're going to talk about. When it comes to fatherhood, I am all for learning. I think that we should be reading. I think that we should be listening to podcasts. Maybe this one, if you're not subscribed to it and this is your first time, you should be taking in all sorts of information when it comes to fatherhood, even child development, which has also been talked about on this podcast before. But you should be trying to learn about your kids, yourself, life, learn more about God. You should be trying to learn and to grow all the time, because if you're not doing that, you're probably getting left behind a little bit. It's a wonderful thing for us to do that. And if you want a good little reminder on fatherhood, or maybe you're new to the game of fatherhood, I might have something that would help you. I've got this book that I wrote called Cut the Crap. It's direct tips for becoming a dad. I focus on some key points that you can get started with. And there's little questions throughout the book that give you reflection and give you some application. Would highly recommend this. I think it will help you. It will serve you. It's called Cut the Crap, and it's by yours truly. But when it comes to fatherhood, we should be trying to learn. Now, what we'll do with the information that we learn is we might not take it and use it exactly as we receive it, because our responsibility as leaders of our home, as fathers, is to take what we learn and to adapt it to our family, because every family is different. There are things that I do in my house that might not work for you and yours, but you might be able to listen to something that I say and take some principles and say, you know what? I can't do it that way, but if I follow the principles, I could do this instead, and I think I might get a very similar result. That's up to you. Listening to a podcast, reading a book doesn't just solve all your problems. You've got to take that knowledge and you've got to do something with it. That's what you should do, and that's what I want you to do. But I want you to know that you can do this thing called fatherhood the right way. There is a right way for you to do this. Now, there's not one right way, but there is a right way for you. And that's why I picked Revelation chapter 3 to talk about this, because this is a passage that if you've been in church for any amount of time, if you've grown up maybe in charismatic movements, I grew up in Pentecostal movement, maybe you heard this preached a particular way. So the way that I always heard this preached is you have to be either hot or cold. And so one of the things that we've done in our culture is we have set apart these two, and we have labeled hot or fire as something that is good. So we go to different passages in the Bible. For example, when John the Baptist says that the one coming after me is mightier than I, his shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I can't not tell you how many times I've heard a sermon preached about, you know, it's one thing to have God's Spirit, but you also have to have the fire. And I'm thinking, these people have never read the next verse, because the fire is the judgment that God is going to pour out on those who didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's just like, no, I'm not supposed to have both of those. I'm not supposed to get judged with fire and also receive the Spirit. That we just haven't read that. But because we haven't read forward, we get this idea that fire is a good thing. We read it again in Acts chapter 2, that cloven tongues like fire sat upon each of them. And instead of seeing the modeled temple language that Luke is trying to use, that when the temple was dedicated to God, what happened? Fire came down. And Luke is using that language to convey a message that God has deemed this place worthy, and that place is you as an individual, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It all fits together when you just read it the right way. But instead of viewing it that way, we've taken the concept of heat and fire, and we've made it a really good thing. And so what is cold in relation to hot? Well, it's the opposite. So we just made that a really bad thing. And I have heard so many sermons where the minister said, if you're going to serve God, then you need to be on fire for God. You got to be hot. And if you're not hot, then you might as well backslide and be as cold as you can be, because God doesn't want you to be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, then God's going to spit you out of his mouth. Well, the problem with that is, one, it's biblically inaccurate, but two, it doesn't even make sense. If you're cold or lukewarm, isn't he going to spit you out just the same? Like, if cold is bad, like if cold is I don't serve God at all, and lukewarm gets the same thing as cold, then why don't you just pick? Well, that doesn't make sense. Why not, instead of trying to have a relationship with God and having your struggles, why not just go all out and just live it up while you have the chance, because you're going to get the same consequence in the end anyway? A lot of problems with it. Just doesn't make sense. So I want to help you understand it, because when John writes this to the church at Laodicea, he is using geography to help them out. He's trying to convey a point to them, and this is a point that I think benefits us as fathers when it comes to doing fatherhood the right way for us. So there were neighboring cities to Laodicea, Colossae and Hierapolis. Now, in Colossae, they had cold water. They had refreshing cold water that was wonderful to drink. And it was known that that is where you could have refreshing cold water. It's in Colossae. And in Hierapolis, they had hot springs. They had warm water that was used for medicinal purposes. People could go and just relax in the hot springs and feel better. John knew this. And the people in Laodicea knew this, because these were neighboring cities. Hot springs, hot water, cold water, good for drinking. But what happens when you mix the two? You get lukewarm water. It's kind of disgusting. And there's a natural proclivity sometimes to just want to spit it out. It just doesn't taste good. It doesn't feel right. And so what John is trying to tell the church at Laodicea is, God wants you to pick. Be one or the other. Like Hierapolis has hot water and Colossae has cold water, be who you are. You have gifts and you have talents. You need to embrace those. And you need to be who God has designed you and called you to be. Stop trying to do everything. Stop trying to just mix everything in and just say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to be all of these things. Because when you mix it all together, it has no benefit. So be hot or be cold. Both of those are good things. And this is what I want you to understand as a father. You are going to do fatherhood differently than I'm going to do fatherhood. And that is okay. You can still be doing it the right way, and I can still be doing it the right way for my family. Now, I do think that we should have some common ground as dads. For example, as Christians, we ought to have dedication to God. We ought to be praying. We ought to be in the Word of God. We ought to be growing and learning as disciples of Jesus Christ. We should all share that. The second thing that we should share is, we're husbands. So we ought to be striving every single day. How can I best serve my wife? That's what we ought to be trying to do. How can I love my wife in the same capacity as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? That's what I need to be doing. That's what you need to be doing. Again, common ground. The other thing is, we're fathers. And we have this mission, that we should bring up our children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. We should share that. But beyond that point, maybe you've got a different idea on dietary restrictions. Maybe you don't want your kids to eat red meat. And maybe I don't care. Well, that's okay. I don't have to judge you about this. You don't have to judge me about this. Instead, what we should do is we should come together and have a conversation about it. You can tell me why you think that. I can tell you why I think what I think. We can either agree to disagree and still be buddies, or maybe you see my side and you think, okay, that actually makes a whole lot of sense. Or maybe I see your side and think, maybe I should give that a shot. We can learn from one another, but we need diversity. We need this eclectic coming together so that we can learn. If you only stick around people who believe exactly what you believe all the time, you're just going to reaffirm to yourself what you already know. And that's not a horrible thing, but what do you ever learn? If you're not challenged, if you're not ever presented with something of opposition to consider and to contemplate, you're not going to grow. And again, like I talked about in the beginning, we should be learning. We should be taking in information. We should be reading cool little books like Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad by Anthony Vandegrift. We should be taking in information and learning and growing, but we can also do that with one another. We need one another. We need community. This is part of the reason why it's fathering our future. It's not mine, and it's not just yours. It's a work that we do together. It's something that we do hand in hand, or rather arm in arm, because we're men, so we don't hold hands with each other. We reserve that for our children and for our wife. But arm in arm, linked up together, we do this. This is a collective effort, and it's a collective work, and we can do it the right way in the best way that fits our family. I want you to hear this, and I want you to be encouraged that your uniqueness serves a purpose, that your particular giftings that I might not have serve a purpose in your home. You don't have to try and be someone that you are not, that God has not equipped you to be. You might not be the most prolific storyteller. You might not be comfortable getting into it and being silly all the time, but you can try a little bit. And while that might not be your strength, you might be really good at some other things that I'm not good at, that the next dad's not good at. That's okay. Your uniqueness serves a purpose. God has made you who you are. And that's an identity that you need to run with, that you need to embrace and that you need to accept. Don't reject it. Don't say, oh, I can do this and I can do that and I'll add a little bit of this. And what you get is this concoction that has no purpose. That's what John was trying to tell the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. And that's what I'm trying to tell you in reference to being a father. You are unique for a purpose. And your uniqueness is something that you should tap into as a dad to do fatherhood the right way for your family. It's kind of like the movie Kung Fu Panda. It's got to be one of my favorite animated films. I like Jack Black, and I just think he does a really good job. The animation, everything put together with Po, the panda in Kung Fu Panda, I think it's so great. But there's this really neat part where Po has been selected to be the dragon warrior. And finally the day comes, after he's gone through some training, that he gets to open the dragon scroll and he gets to read what he's supposed to read on this scroll that will give him access to limitless power. And they open the scroll and Po looks at it and there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And so they all freak out because, okay, this was all a big hoax. There's nothing on the scroll. I can't do this. I don't have the secrets. I don't have the information that I need to be able to be the dragon warrior. But then he has a conversation with his dad about this noodle soup that he makes. And he says, yeah, there's no secret ingredient. And all of a sudden it clicks. Po realizes, looking at his reflection on this dragon scroll, there is no secret ingredient. I'm it. My uniqueness, who I am, qualifies me. And the same is true for you. Your uniqueness, who you are, more than qualifies you to be dad. And that's what God desires for you. You don't need to try and do it exactly my way. I hope you can learn something from me, but you don't have to exactly mimic everything that I do, because I tell you this at the beginning as a little disclosure, I'm not the perfect dad. I make mistakes. I'm sure I've been wrong a lot of times. You don't have to do it just like me. Hopefully you learned something, but you don't have to be me because you're not me. You are you. You need to be good at becoming you. So embrace your uniqueness. Be who you are, whether that is cold or whether that is hot. Be who you are. Embrace your uniqueness, and you'll do just fine doing fatherhood the right way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for clarity that your word gives us. We thank you for the direction and the guidance that your word gives us. And thank you for the truth of understanding that who we are, who you've made us to be, is good. That in making us with our unique qualities and some things that might be viewed as peculiar in the eyes of others, God, you've given those attributes to us with intentionality and purpose. So I pray that you would help us to accept and to embrace all of that uniqueness, not to be uncomfortable about it, not to think that we have to change it, not to think that it's something that makes us not good enough to be the dad that our children need us to be, but to realize that all of these attributes that we have, you've given, you've designed us for this mission, and there's purpose behind all of the peculiar qualities that we have. Help us, God, to embrace our uniqueness and to be the dad that our children need us to be, and to do fatherhood the way that you've designed us to do fatherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this helps you. I hope you reflect on this. I hope you pray about it. I hope you analyze yourself and you come to terms with, you know what, maybe this is a little quirky about me, but I think I'm okay with it now. I think it can help my kids. I think it can help me as a father. Think about it, figure out what you can learn about yourself, and then embrace that and run with it, because that will be the right way for you to do fatherhood. If you ever need me, you know how to get a hold of me, fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being with me. This is Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift, and I hope you will join me next time. I want to thank you again for listening to Fathering Our Future and for endeavoring to grow as a dad. But I want to ask you to become more than just a subscriber. I want to ask you to consider becoming a supporter of Fathering Our Future. Whether it's a one-time gift today or a monthly commitment, whatever you give, it's not too small. It will contribute to Fathering Our Future, continuing to grow and to expand and to reach dads. All you have to do is go to fatheringourfuture.com, click the donate button, and give whatever you would like to give. Thank you, and God bless.